We extend Christian greetings to each one and want to again extend a hearty welcome to each one to our service. I was blessed in what Brother Henry was sharing about the beans, the new life. May we experience Christ living within each one of us. For the message today, I thought I would share about the body of Christ. Ye are the body of Christ. I would like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 27 says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." If we go up to verse 25, it says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Ye are the body of Christ. My, what a responsibility. I would like to read, starting in verse 12 through 27. Then we'll come back and go over and see what the Lord has for us. I would like to encourage you as the body of Christ that as we read and as we share, that you not only listen to what is said, but allow the Spirit of God to speak to your heart. You will get so much more out of the message, out of the worship service, when you allow God to speak to your heart instead of just listening to what I say. God can minister to the needs that you have there on a much higher level than what any one of us as an individual. So let's read 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12 through verse 27. "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Paul here likens the body of the church to the human body. And as we look at all this, how should the body function? I have heard it said that as a family functions, you have the father, you have the mother, you have the children. That the church should function, that you have the bishop, you have the ministers, and you have the laity. I do not find that to be a New Testament scripture way of looking at it. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says that the head of every man is Jesus Christ. And then we could also, we can look at the family unit as a body. We can also look at the church unit as a larger body. And then we can look at all the churches of God as a larger body. In this letter, the Apostle Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, and he was telling them that they are the body of Christ. And I think today he would tell us to the Calvary Church, ye are the body of Christ. In how a church should function, when you look at the leadership, I would like to remind us that Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Looking at the body, Paul was very descriptive in likening the church body as the human body. And if we look at verses 15 through 17, talks about different members of the human body, and you could get the picture there that they were envious of each other. And if you look at different members of the body, you look at my hands, part of my body, supposing the hand would be envious of the arm. Arm is so much bigger than the hand. Maybe the hand would think, you know, I have to do all the dirty work looking at the body, rest of the body. Supposing parts of my body would fight against other parts of my body. You bring that into the church life. Paul said there should be no schism in the body. The members should not fight against each other. They should love each other, care for each other. If we look at verses 21 through 23, there it depicts members that are prideful. You know, maybe the hand would say to the arm, I don't need you, leave me alone. You know, the arm carries the hand back and forth, makes it travel all over the place. Those things ought not to be in the body of Christ. If we look at the body, on top of the body is the head. Inside the head is the brain. In your brain is where all the thinking and processing of thoughts goes on. In the back of your head, firmly attached to your brain, is the brainstem, to which is attached your spinal cord, which travels down your back and carries nerves to every part of your body. There are many parts of your body that are invisible. According to one study, it stated that the average adult body, healthy body, carries approximately 46 miles of nerves. Those nerves normally travel about 170 miles per hour. In Psalms, I think it is 139:14, David says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." When you look at the human body and the needs that it has, there are times when I have a problem with dry skin. And there are times when I itch. Well, the place on me that itches sends a message to the brain, and automatically my hand can come over here and scratch that. You know, there are times that I might itch in places that I can't reach with my hands. And sometimes I have already backed up against the corner of a wall and rubbed my body back and forth on it to scratch that place. When I do that, I have to put more thought into it because I have to think about how much pressure I want to put on that and also how much till it eases the itch. When I am able to reach that place, this hand automatically knows exactly how hard to scratch. And I take all those things for granted. It just works. And you know, Polly sometimes wants me to scratch her back a little bit, you know? Well, now when I do it for somebody else to fill in, I don't know exactly how hard to scratch, and I don't exactly know where to scratch. And so there is some communication that has to go on. Further over, well, is over right or left, you know? Or scratch harder, you know? And there's communication that has to go on in order to get it just right. Well, when you do it for yourself and everything functions smoothly as it should, you automatically know that is the exact amount of pressure to put on, exactly how much scratching you need to get that relief. And that's looking at different functions of the human body. You know, when you scratch an itch, that's your members caring for each other, looking out for each other. Now, if a member of your body ceases to function, several years ago, I was over with my dad, and he wanted me to cut a tree over. I was cutting timber for him. And I had this tree picked out that I needed to cut over. And around this tree were growing a bunch of sawbriars, these green viney vines that have thorns on them. And those bramble thorns can be really mean. Well, I took my chainsaw around this tree and I trimmed them all off where they were growing around this tree. And I had gloves on. I grabbed a hold of these thorns and I pulled them back away from the tree. And because of how thorny they were, they clung to my gloves and traveled back up with me when I pulled my hand back. And so I got a better hold of them, wrapped them up kind of and pulled them back again. And when I did that, my chainsaw revved up and immediately it pulled my hand right into the blade just like that. I mean, it happened so fast. And the chainsaw, in order for it to be able to rev up like that, a vine would have had to be wrapped around the throttle and also around the handle because it had to push a button in the handle and pull the throttle in order for that to happen. But I was careless. I should have had the chain brake engaged and did not. So when that happened, the chainsaw cut into my finger, and into the bottom part of my thumb right here. And in my finger, it took a little bit of bone out. My finger was just standing down like this, and I could not pull it back up. I could take my other hand and help it up, but I had to go to a doctor where they could help me. And there's times when each one of us needs help. We all go through those times. And we, as members of one another, we need to fill in. The doctor was able to take some ligament material out of my hand and reattach the ligaments in the top of my finger and in the back. And he also, because I have loose skin on my hand, he was able to get from that skin and graft skin. See, a chainsaw makes a pretty wide cut. So they grafted skin off of my hand, pulled it together, sewed that up, and sewed this little patch of skin on my finger where it was missing. My finger is not totally straight, but it functions again. And I'm thankful for that. But during the time that this member of my body was injured, I had to improvise. You see, when a member doesn't work, when you reach over to scratch yourself, your arm, all your arm has to do is just reach over there and your fingers can do the scratching. But when your fingers are stiff because of not working, your body can improvise and your arm can still do that. But your arm has to get, you know, fill in and do that. We as members of the church, when we don't fill our place, when we slack off, you know, other members have to fill in for us. Now, there's times when we get sick, times when we might not function properly, that people can fill in for us. But we all need each other in order for the body to really work right. You know, also several years ago, and not long ago, Louise can identify with this, as a member of my body that also quit functioning properly, it was my gallbladder. And the gallbladder is a very necessary part of your body in that it puts acid into your small intestine to enable food to digest better. And when that part of your body gets sick and ceases to function properly, it can plug up that tube where that liquid drains down, and it can poison your whole body. And I would like to liken that as sin. You know, if there is sin in the body of the church, it can poison the whole body. And it is necessary in times like that. I had my gallbladder removed, as I think did Louise. And your body can fill in, recoup, heal up, and be better again. And we are so blessed in living in a time of technology where doctors can do those things for us and your body can return back to normal health. And there are things that we can do to fill in. You also have your legs, you have your knees, you have your feet, you have your toes. All of those individual members of your body, and you need them all. You know, what kind of purpose does a toe have? I remember a time when I was working. I don't remember if it was in the shop or outside the shop. And I've had different times when I hurt myself. You know, back in the day when, you know, we were still on the farm, and I'm still on the farm now, but we had a lot more action going on, and I was young and not really quite as wise as I might be now. But pulling a hitch pin that was under pressure and standing there straddling that thing, and the tongue of what I was unhooking would come to the side and drop down and land right on my little toe. I remember my toe hurting so bad that I could feel it out at the tips of my fingers, and every part of me was hurting. when that little member was hurting? Do we have that much care for each other as members of one another in the church that when one of us hurts, that we all hurt with that member? If we, excuse me for saying this, I remember also a time as a little boy, and I don't say this against anyone, but it's just something that happened. And I know that person didn't mean it bad, but I remember this saying so well. When I would be working there, we'd maybe be at a frolic someplace, we'd all be working together, and maybe somebody would accidentally hit his thumb with a hammer. And you know, when you're holding a nail and trying to start a nail, and back then we didn't have much air nailers and stuff, and you did not aim straight with your hammer and you missed the nail and hit the wrong nail, you know, it would immediately create a blood clot in your thumb or your finger, whatever you hit. And ooh, that would hurt. And somebody would be standing right beside you and say, "Ich nichts spürt. I didn't feel anything." You know, that was kind of funny maybe in its way, but you know, we should love and care for each other that we feel that for each other when someone hurts. And I'm sure the person that said that, and there were different people who said that, you know, did not mean it in a bad way. But let's not be that way. Let's feel for each other. Ye are the body of Christ. Going back to verse 15 to 17, look at being envious. You know, there are many things that different ones, different members of the church can do some of these needful, necessary things so much better than I can. Is that a reason for me to back off and to slack off and just let them do it? And not even do my part. Being envious, allowing these thoughts to harbor in our system, causes us to withdraw, to slack off, and to not fill our place. It works to destroy love, care, and other fruits of the Spirit we are called as children of God to exemplify. It causes us to lose our vision of Christ and his bride, the church, in how we should relate with each other. Looking at verse 21 to 23, it talks about being prideful. Pride is so subtle and can show itself in so many different ways, even passing itself off as being humble. Quite a few of you might have heard this story before, but I might relate it again just to make a point. The story is told of an Amish man that bought himself a new horse. And this horse had beautiful markings. And my, he was quite a stepper. Sunday morning came along and he hooked his new horse to the buggy. Drove up to the house, and his wife came out, got on the buggy with him, and they were driving this horse and buggy to church. And this young man was so impressed with how this horse was performing that he kind of felt condemned. You know, he said, "I'm afraid I'm dealing with the issue of pride here. You know, while I'm in church, I probably won't be able to think of anything but this horse. You know," he said, "I am going to turn around." He turned around, drove back home, unhooked his horse, and put the old horse back on his buggy. He was going to go to church with his old horse. And as they were driving along to church, he remarked to his wife that there's probably nobody in our whole church that would do what I just did. changed his horse around so I don't have to deal with pride. Pride is so subtle, and we can have that within us without knowing it. You know, have you ever been going along and you tripped and fell? And the first thing you do is quickly look around to see if anybody saw that. Same thing is kind of true with working at Yoder Brothers years ago. I accidentally cut myself. You know, my first thought is, I don't hardly believe I did that. And I look again to be sure, I really did. You know, it's there. And you quickly look around to see if anybody else saw it. Depending on how much pride you have within yourself, this is something that happens, and something that we really need to guard against. Depending on how much pride you have, when you fall, the proverb writer says that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. What happens when you fall? It can create a wound, a very deep wound, depending on how much pride you have. Just for a very brief instant, when you fall, that wound can open up for just an instant. And in that time, if you're not on your guard, Satan is right there, and he will throw into that wound seeds. And if that wound closes back up, you know, you get up and you go on, and you're not aware. If those seeds that he threw in there are allowed to sprout and grow, they will produce out of that hate, envy, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, and a host of other works of the flesh which contribute to our spiritual death if allowed to grow. You see, God is actually doing us a favor when he allows us to fall if we are prideful. Because ultimately, his blessings, he will want to help us get rid of that. And he knows when we need a fall. But when that happens, we do good to never allow Satan to throw his seeds in there. That is his game, and that is what he tries to do. And I think the Hebrew writer would give it that the root of bitterness is something that can defile many people if we're not careful. And that can happen in that brief instant when you fall, and it creates a wound, and it opens up just briefly maybe. But in that brief time, Satan is right there trying to throw those evil seeds in there. May God help us never allow that to happen. Those things can contribute to a spiritual decline and death. May God create a clean heart within us and renew a right spirit within us. We do good to remember whose we are and that we have been bought with a price. I would like to turn over to Romans chapter 12 and read the first 5 verses there. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. In Isaiah chapter 40, I'd like to turn to that, read verse 31. That was, I think, one of my mom's favorite scripture verses. Looking at each one of us as being members of one another. And we have some members here that are quite young. And you might wonder, what is my job? What can I do as a member of the body of Christ? I remember when I was a young boy, I used to be so bored. You know, some of you might not remember those times, but my memory goes back. And I remember asking Mom, was kann ich do? Mom, what can I do? I was just bored. But you know, as members of a body, there is always work for us to do. All we have to do is look for it. One of my mom's favorite scriptures, Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." It says here, "They that wait upon the Lord." You know, my natural inclination is to think wait upon the Lord is you just sit down and wait. But I would like to look at this as a waiter waits in a restaurant. They are serving each other. They are serving other peoples, those waiters are. And may we wait in that way, serving the Lord as we have opportunity. As a waiter stays busy waiting on people in a restaurant, may we be busy about the Lord's work. There is so much that we could do. I would also like to read James chapter 1, verse 27. I was blessed with Chad's devotional in the earlier part of this chapter, but the last verse here says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." We have older people that, you know, we can go visit, whether it's within the church or outside the church. And I know that my dad, you know, he's older. He enjoys company. And some of you younger ones here, I'm sure that you enjoy listening to stories. My dad has a memory that also goes way back, and I'm sure he'd have a lot of stories he could tell if you just ask him, if you'd go visit him. And many others. There are people here that you can visit, people here you can do things for, and in that way you can be waiting as a waiter in a restaurant. We can be busy about the Lord's work. With these thoughts, let's kneel for a word of prayer.